we welcome into our studio, sociology professor at the University of Maine, a writer and author of a wonderful new book called Child Free by Choice, The Movement Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. Dr. Amy Blackstone with us. Amy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
We're awfully happy to have you here. The book is wonderful and an eye-opening book. First of all, let's talk about your own experience. When and why did you and your husband make the choice to be child-free?
That's a good question with a long and complicated answer, so I'll try to keep it brief. Can you hear me, by the way?
We can.
Okay. So I got married pretty young. I married my high school sweetheart right out of college. So I was 22. He was 23. We're still happily married today, almost 25 years later. And when we got married, we both assumed that we would become parents one day. I had really prepared myself for the role of motherhood. I became a certified babysitter when I was 11 years old because I wanted to babysit so badly. I did that all through junior high and high school.
And you were a nanny.
I was a nanny in college. I even nannied my nephew when I was a grad student. So I was ready to be a mom in terms of experience, or at least I felt that I was. I wasn't ready in the sense that I felt that there were many things I wanted to do with my life before I became a mother. So that was usually my answer when we got married, that, well, I'm too young, want to do a few more things first, want to finish grad school. That was my response for many years. And by the time I hit my mid-30s, I realized, well, the response that I'm too young might not apply anymore. So maybe there was something else going on. And at the same time, many of my friends were making the transition to parenthood. And I noticed that I wasn't feeling this magical pull toward motherhood that everybody tells little girls they will feel when they become a certain age. And honestly, I thought that something might be wrong with me. And so as a sociologist, my first instinct often when I have a question about the world is to turn to the research on that topic. And so I looked for research on people who are not parents and how they come to that decision or how they end up in that circumstance. And there is a lot of good research that precedes my own, but there wasn't nearly as much as I expected to find. So I decided, you know what? I have a lot of questions about what this process is like, about my own experience. And so launched the research from there and really over time became more comfortable with the reality that, you know, some of us just don't want to become parents and that's okay.
And one of the things you learned in your research, and I have this a very interesting chapter in the book, is the notion that maternal instinct is a myth.
Right. That was honestly one of the most relieving things for me to learn myself, because I did have this worry that something was going on with me and it was wrong that I wasn't drawn to motherhood in the way that many women describe. And what I learned was that there really isn't any scientific evidence to show that there's something instinctual about motherhood, that we're driven to it genetically or biologically. And the reality is that we socialize girls to believe that they will become mothers one day. And that socialization is so ingrained and so deeply rooted that it feels natural. It feels like we were born that way. But in fact, it's learned.
What fascinated me most and frankly depressed me, and I was child-free for a long, long time, but I didn't get this. And I think part of that's because men don't get it the way women do, but it's the reaction of other people. What is it about this choice that tends to confuse people and even make them angry?
A lot. And you're absolutely right. I mean, having done this work, I'm the sociologist in the family, but my husband Lance has been my partner on our blog, We're Not Having a Baby, for the last 6 years. And we get very different reactions as a man and a woman not having children. And I'm the one that tends to get the more negative kinds of reactions. And I think that that has something to do with what we've just been talking about, that we assume that motherhood is natural for women, that it's ingrained in us, that it's, you know, the most fulfilling thing we can do with our lives. So if we see somebody either not feeling compelled to do it or even actively pushing against it, it sends a message that maybe there's something wrong with them or with us. I mean, it challenges this very deeply sacred notion that motherhood is the be-all, end-all, and is natural.
And one of the assumptions people often make is that, oh, well, they're selfish. That's why they don't want to have kids. When there's plenty of evidence out there that a number of people who have children do so for very selfish reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky question to me, because it raises a question about what being selfish is or what it means to be selfish. And you're right, if being selfish means making a decision that we think will be fulfilling for ourselves, certainly that's one reason that people choose the role of parenthood. And it's also a reason that people opt out of parenthood. They envision lewd child rearing, and I don't know that that's selfish.
No, and you mentioned not selfishness, but self-awareness.
Right. Yeah. One of the things that the men and women that I interviewed who are child-free consistently told me was that this is a very self-aware decision, that every day of their lives, they're making the decision to be child-free. One woman told me, anytime I have sex with my husband, I'm making the decision to be child-free. I have to be conscious about the reality that I could become a mother. I don't want to be. So I have to make decisions that align with that choice.
And people also sometimes make the assumption that if you're child-free, it's because you don't like kids.
Right. That's another popular myth that we hold about child-free people. And I will say there are child-free people who prefer the company of adults. And if that's the case, you know, let them. Why would we want to pressure those people into becoming right. parents? But also, the most people who are child-free don't hate children. In fact, of the folks that I interviewed, 25% actually chose careers that require them to be involved in the lives of children because they wanted to make a difference in kids' lives. So they're teachers, they're social workers, police officers, pediatricians, and they felt that the way that they could best make a difference toward rearing the next generation was in their professional lives rather than in their personal lives.
We're talking with Dr. Amy Black's book is Child-Free by Choice. The very notion of childhood has evolved over time. And as you point out in the book, early on, they were workers. They had a role to do. There were right. economic concerns. In many ways, it's the decade of the 1950s that we're locked into still a half century, 60 years later, in terms of how we view children and the idea of family.
Right. Yeah. Historians don't call the decade of the 1950s the long decade for no reason. I mean, its shadow is still following us. And yeah, that is the period at which we sort of discovered or adopted this new idea about childhood. As you said, prior to that, we had a period of industrialization where children were working in factories and expected to contribute to the family income. Before industrialization, children were expected to work on the family farm. And it really wasn't until the period at which we decided women should be at home, or at least white middle-class women should be at home. And their job was to rear their children, and children should be either at school or at home with their mothers.
You anticipate the first part of my question. Yeah, I was born in 1951. Mothers were supposed to stay home, so they gave up their careers and any possible. Then you get to a point where women become involved in careers and they have a chance. And if you have, as you do, a PhD, it takes a long time to get there. And then suddenly you're supposed to put that on the back burner, have your children, and then come back. No one asked the men to do that.
You're right.
You know, and I see that in my wife's a lawyer. She was about to give birth to our second child right before an exam. And the guy was like, well, if you don't show up for the exam, you know, you're going to flunk.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, well, if I'm not in labor, I'll be here. How often do you think people get forced into making decisions? I better have a kid now, because if I don't, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think that definitely happens. And that tells us something about our policies on work-life balance, on family leave, and these are issues that I think on their face don't appear to be relevant to child-free people, but I think they're relevant to all of us. I mean, we all deserve lives that are balanced with our working roles, and we all deserve to create families that matter to us. And if we have public policies that support that, whatever the choice is, I think we're all better off.
And this is not going away. You talk in the book about a Newsweek article from, I think, 2013 that essentially said child-free families were bad for America. And I wonder how much of this and how much of what's going on in our current politics today is the subtext of it is, to me, controlling women.
Right. I mean, that's a huge part of the subtext. I would argue the other part of the subtext is the word that was missing from that title is that white child-free families are bad for America. This has just come up again in the news. The CDC released a report about a month ago that showed that some women's fertility rates in the U.S. are at the lowest point that they've been in 32 years. And there were people were up in arms about this. What are we going to do about this? Our population is declining. What are we going to do? In fact, our population is still increasing. The last figure, if I remember this right, that I read on the World Population Clock was that we net a new person, 16 new people every minute in the U.S. So we're not losing people. And the reason for that is we have immigrants to thank. But that's not what a lot of people want to hear.
Right. Also, terminology is important. And you point out a distinction in the book between child-free and childless.
Yes. And that is an important distinction for many people who are not parents. So I use the term child-free to refer to people who've made the intentional choice not to become parents, and childless to refer to people who are also not parents, but who wanted to be and don't have children for any number of reasons. It may be circumstance. Maybe they never found a partner that they wanted to parent with, or infertility. As you can probably imagine, in one case, a group is living the circumstance that they've chosen for themselves. They're living the life of their choosing. And in the other case, they are not. So they are very different experiences.
And I know the answer to this. It's a setup. I'm lobbing it in there for you. But are there really people out there, he said, knowing, that don't view a family without children as a full family?
Thank you for that setup. You've touched on my biggest soapbox issue as a child-free person.
Because you read the book.
There are many people out there. And again, I think this is related to the thing about motherhood that is so ingrained. Our beliefs about motherhood are so deeply ingrained. It's hard to think differently about it. The same thing is true of family. We grow up hearing that people start families when they become pregnant, or when their partners become pregnant and they start rearing kids. But the truth is that those of us who don't have children also create lives that have meaning for us. Many of us have partners who we've decided to nurture our connections with. We're involved in our communities, and we even do help rear the next generation in a variety of ways. We don't do that by biologically reproducing children, but many of us play roles in children's lives that matter.
Well, it's a fascinating book. I think it's an important book as well. Child Free by Choice, The Movement Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. Also, the blog, again, for people who might like to follow.
That's we'renothavingababy.com.
Well, that's wonderful. Dr. Amy Blackstone, thank you so much for visiting with us.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful 4th.
I shall. You as well.